A Yuma native is running for city council, and we have an update on funding for a local college student program. This is KAWC's Arizona edition. Henry Valenzuela is the first candidate to formally announce he's running for the Yuma City Council.
And again, it's that sense of community, that sense of togetherness, that's what's special about Yuma.
And the director of the Trio Keys program at Arizona Western College speaks on the future of federal funding.
There's still some clouds out there that could, still fester into some storms, but that's okay. We're going to ride the waves.
Mm-hmm. Those stories, plus a look at the flu season in Yuma County, coming up on Arizona Edition.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Officials with the Yuma County Public Health Services District said flu activity in Yuma County remains lower than typical seasonal levels, despite an increase in cases in recent weeks. KAWC Civic Engagement reporter Alexander Rangel shares how you can protect yourself this flu season.
For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel. It's that time of the season when flu cases typically begin to spike, and this year, the numbers are especially high nationwide. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention estimates more than 15 million flu cases across the country this season, with 7,000 reported deaths. Here in Arizona, cases have been at a steady rise. The Arizona Department of Health Services reports more than 10,000 flu cases statewide as of January 14. Only 300 cases have been reported in Yuma. We checked in with Yuma County Public Health Services to get a better idea of how flu activity is shaping up in the region. County Health Epidemiologist Benito Lopez says flu levels in Yuma have been lower than typical seasons, but there has been an uptick in recent weeks. He explains the increase began about 4 weeks ago.
Seasons are usually low and then start, progressing. Usually they peak at this time of the year. So then as we can see an increase. And in the last 4 weeks, we have seen an increase in the number of cases with an average of 44 cases per week. Those are lab diagnosed cases, meaning confirmed cases, And this is only represents a small proportion of the number of cases because not all the people, go to the doctor and get tested. By the end of May is when we see the number of cases when we have the summer here.
In Arizona, the most reported type of flu has been influenza A. Lopez says Yuma is seeing the same pattern.
Most of the cases have been influenza A. We have seen the influenza A in general. We have not seen any other specific variants so far.
Lopez talked about the discourse surrounding this year's flu vaccine. According to CDC numbers, fewer people are getting the shot this season. Health officials attribute the increase in severe flu cases to a new mutation of influenza A, known as subclade K, a strain not well covered by this year's vaccine, leading some to question whether the shot is worth getting. Lopez says doctors still recommend getting vaccinated.
The vaccine doesn't give you 100% protection. The vaccine is to help you to reduce the risk of complication from the flu. But you cannot predict what is going to be the actually one circulating. So the best way that they prepare the vaccine is based on previous information, but you don't know actually what strain is going to be coming. Some people say, it's not matching, so I'm not going to get the vaccine. Well, you still be protected with the vaccine, especially people with high risk. They have underlying condition, the elderly. That's the reason we still recommend the vaccine.
What are you most concerned about for the remainder of the flu season?
as the season progress, we usually see, you know, those peaks like the one that we that has been noticing, you know, lately in this last 4 weeks has been an increase. Follow-up is always how that impacts, the increase of that money impacts the hospitalization. When we start seeing those things, and then is the message may change and say, okay, there is an increase on hospitalization recommendations for you to protect yourself and you're sick, stay home, be evaluated by your provider, get vaccinated.
Lopez recommends people stay informed about the flu. He says if anything changes locally, Yuma County Public Health Services will be sure to inform the public. For KAWC News, I'm Alexandra Rangel.
A program that helps Yuma County students attend Arizona Western College is funded by a federal grant. KAWC Education Solutions reporter Cisco Stargazer gives us an update on the Trio Keys program's funding status.
I'm Cisco Stargazer for Arizona Edition. Last summer, we reported on how the Trio Keys program at Arizona Western College was overdue for any word on renewal. Keys, nationally recognized as student support services, is part of the federal Trio program, which funds programs aimed at helping people go to college. Student support services, specifically, focuses on helping them stay in college through wraparound support. Since it's a federal grant, the program runs on five-year cycles. August 2025, marked the end of the most recent cycle at AWC. Typically, they would have had notice by that point on renewal or non-renewal. Although the silence was worrying for some, AWC Trio Director Michelle Thomas has a happy update.
Well, the happy news is that the AWC Student Support Services, which we affectionately call Keep Envisioning Your Success, the KEYS program, did receive in the end of September notification from the U.S. Department of Education that we were funded for the next grant cycle from 2025 to 2030. And we're excited that we did receive that notification and excited to still be continuing to provide service here at AWC for how long ever that will be.
So then, does that feel like the future of the program is more secure now, do you think?
Well, it's definitely more secure for the 25-26, yeah. Which I think all of our grant-funded programs right now, that's about as secure as we can be, especially in the Department of Education grants. And we'll, you know, see how it all goes with this fiscal year 26 budget. You know, there's still a lot of question marks, but it's not unusual. It's really a basis year by year, because our funding is, you know, based off of what Congress does as far as and how it allocates funds. So we are on a year-by-year notice because we need to make sure that we're meeting what we're funded to serve. It's just not like, oh, you get money for 5 years, but you haven't done anything with this money. So it is that check and balance has always been in place with the reporting to make sure that we are using the money appropriately and for what it's for.
Since the renewal came later, we asked Michelle if that caused any issues for KEYS in the time in between cycles.
There's been no lapse of service for our students and our, you know, delivery of service, nothing of that nature. Actually, we had received even at the end of August, which is when the prior grant expired, was the 31st of August. But we had received an extension from the Department of Ed through the end of September. So we were definitely very grateful that we did not have to lay off any staff, didn't have to shutter and, you know, close down any services.
We don't know with certainty why there was a delay in the first place, but Thomas did have some guesses.
It's just that it was, you know, just a lot that has been going on since the, you know, the transition from one administration to the other, that we got caught in that. I think that transition is really what happened. Personally, this is just my opinion. My opinion was that just with a lot of the individuals and how they've been downsizing the size of the workforce for the federal government, there were just a lot of people that were leaving. And that left some gaps, you know, before this even, the shutdown. This was prior to the shutdown. So with those individuals who maybe took early in retirements and or some of the other different offerings that they had made, I think it just left them shorthanded. And it just really kind of interrupted the whole process.
We should note that Keys is only one third of Trio at AWC. There's also Upward Bound and Talent Search, which are more outreach focused. Thomas told KAWC that it's a grant writing year for Talent Search, and there's some annual reporting still pending. So they'll be going through the process of applying and waiting for news again soon enough.
There's still a lot of unknowns and navigating, and that is what's going on across the country right now. But it is good to from the colleagues, our Trio, you know, colleagues across the country, the support that is there, the initiative to continue to go forward and serve the students that our programs serve across the 50 states and territories, you know, that hasn't waned, even in the midst of all of the challenges. I would just say no clouds, you know, in the sky. There's still some, you know, some clouds out there that could still fester into some storms, but that's okay. We're gonna ride the waves.
Mm-hmm. But right now, things are going pretty well.
Our intake this year with our incoming freshman students, and they're responding very well to the services and engagement with us. And so I'm glad that we're not going to have to stop that. We can continue to serve from sixth grade through the time students are here and then helping them to transfer on.
And so Trio persists, serving all manner of students. For Arizona Edition, I'm Cisco Stargazer. This reporting is supported by a grant from the Arizona Local News Foundation. And as a quick note, AWC is indeed our license holder.
Coming up after the break, we'll hear from Yuma City Council candidate Henry Valenzuela.
Funding for Arizona Edition comes from listeners just like you. Your continued support allows us to bring you insightful conversations about issues and events impacting our community. Thanks to you, we are able to highlight the people and voices of Yuma and La Paz counties and encourage civil conversations around water, agriculture, healthcare, education, and much more. Please continue to tune in to Arizona Edition, and thank you for helping us keep our community informed.
This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. I'm Victor Calderon. Three seats will be on the ballot for the Yuma City Council this year. Councilwoman Carol Smith is running for re-election. Councilman Art Morales and Councilwoman Leslie McClendon have announced that they will not run for re-election. Henry Valenzuela, a former police officer in Somerton and Yuma, has announced his candidacy. Valenzuela stopped by the KAWC studios on Thursday to talk about wanting to continue serving his community. For KAWC, I'm Victor Calderon. I'm here in studio with Henry Valenzuela, candidate for Yuma City Council. Thank you for your time this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So I wanted to have you in because you, I believe, are the first to announce that you're running for the Yuma City Council. But just let folks know you are a retired law enforcement and Army combat engineer. But what should folks know about your background?
So I'm born and raised in Yuma. Yuma is a big part of my life because this is where I'm from and where my family's from. On my father's side, we've been in Yuma for about three generations, and my mom, migrated from Caborca, Mexico. So she grew up in Somerton. They met at Cofa High School, and the rest is history. My brother and I were raised here in Yuma. We grew up playing sports and involved in activities, like 4-H and the Yuma County Fair the Science Fair and all that kind of things. And so, I had a really good upbringing here in Yuma. A lot of the things that were difficult for my parents to afford were still allotted to us as children. Things like the City Golf League, Little League Baseball, and the City Basketball League that we were involved in, and those kinds of things really made our experience growing up enjoyable and rewarding. And so we learned a lot about, you know, teamwork and working together and, you know, being a good sport and, you know, community and how important it is to come together to make things happen. And so, you know, I wasn't the best athlete, but that really wasn't what it was about. And so, you know, that's kind of the vision I see for Yuma. You know, if we can get behind youth sports, I know there's a lot of I played soccer growing up. I know there's a lot of soccer leagues, both within the city and outside the city. And I think those leagues can come together. The travel teams, you know, parents put a lot of time and effort. And I know those kids, you know, pour their heart and soul into, you know, whether it's soccer or dance or wrestling or swim, you know, countless hours practicing and working on that and developing that self-discipline is so important. And so if we can get behind that as a community, then I think, you know, when kids win, everybody wins. And I think if we can focus on things like that, Yuma can continue to be the great place that I grew up in.
And as you said, youth sports is one of the areas that you would like to focus on. And I know that here in Yuma County, you know, whether it's soccer or wrestling, you know, or other sports, there is an interest in youth activities, right? Things for kids to do on the weekends, or they, you know, if they get bored, they say.
Right, and throughout the year, there are those activities, and they're important to be able to offer those for the kids because, you know, listen, I was a very energetic child, and I think my parents recognized that if they didn't keep me involved in something, I was going to be involved in who knows what. And so, you know, that's the idea, is that regardless of socioeconomic status, if we can keep kids involved in sports, then, you know, studies show that they're more likely to stay out of trouble and more likely to stay in school. And you know, I have a personal experience. My daughter, when she was, really young, like, let's say early elementary school, she was not a good student. She had trouble focusing in class, didn't really, you know, had, you know, some social issues, didn't really, you know, have a lot of friends and this kind of thing. And I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but one thing that really changed, and I'll tell you that it's a huge part of my life is I trained Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and one day I actually told my son, I said, hey, this is after COVID. I said, the school's getting back up and we're going to start training again. And she heard me say that and she said, hey, can I try it? And I said, sure. And I was surprised because she wasn't competitive or athletic or really the type of person I would think that would be involved in something like that. But I'm glad she was there. And she started training, and after a month she was hooked, and she's been training for years, and now she's a high school wrestler. I'm very proud of all the hard work that she has done. But the thing that really changed our lives as a family is, as soon as she got involved in jiu-jitsu, her grades improved, her social, you know, dynamics at school, she developed more friends, and now she's a very outgoing and social person. And you know, very athletic, but very driven and focused and disciplined. And those are the things that I think sports can do for a child. And again, when kids win, everybody wins.
Great. And I know you also mentioned public safety is a priority for you if elected. And you have about 20 years working in the Somerton and Yuma Police Departments. Tell folks about sort of what you learned, you know, about the community when in that role.
So what I learned about the community is that if we don't have police officers and firefighters and dispatchers and support staff that are really dedicating their lives to keeping us safe, things can slip away. We cannot take for granted how important it is that when my mom goes to the grocery store that she feels safe. You know, when my wife is driving the kids around, or going to work or whatever she's doing in this community, that she feels safe. When people don't feel safe in their own homes, in their own neighborhoods or out shopping, then everything suffers. And so public safety needs to be a priority. When I call 911, you know, whether it's a medical emergency or it's a fire or whatever it is, I want professional individuals to arrive quickly and be able to do the best, you know, provide world-class treatment, or service for whatever emergency it is. So we need to make sure that we're keeping we're recruiting public safety professionals that are top notch, and that we are retaining them. And so that's number one. And then number two is that we need to recruit and retain business in this community. We need to be open for business and pro-growth. And so while I can't answer every question about, well, what would you do if this happened, or what, I have no idea what will be presented to me in the 4 years. I already know the answer to the test. The test is it going to keep us safer? Is it going to grow business? Because the idea about growing business is that's who pays taxes. Businesses, that's who pays the wages that support our working families in this community. That's what helps families thrive. When parents can go out and earn a good wage, that changes lives.
So you've touched on some of this already, but what made you decide to run for Yuma City Council?
You know, I've been involved in following city politics for a long time. My involvement at the police department, especially as I started getting into some supervisory and administrative roles, got me more focused on kind of what was going on with the city and paying more attention to the budget. And I kind of have a little bit of a mathematics background. I'm a little bit unique in that, I'm a cop, but I'm also kind of a nerd. And so getting involved in paying attention to what's going on with the city budget, paying attention to, kind of where we're spending our money and how we can refocus or reprioritize has always been something that I've been involved in and paying attention to. I don't mind asking the hard questions, and I like to come with facts and data. And when you can present facts and data in a logical manner and you're able to communicate that well, I think you can make some change. So I've lived a life of service through the police department, through the military, and the things I've done throughout the community. And I want to continue to serve this community in that manner. I think that Yuma has come a long way, and I think we can continue to grow, and I think we can continue to thrive and come together as a community.
I'll ask you, what is your favorite part about Yuma?
My favorite part about Yuma is how we come together, whether it's, downtown Yuma, through the festivals, whether it's, sometimes when I go to the golf course, you see people that you've known for years, and it's this sense of an extended family. We are Yuma. We're all Yuma. I'm Yuma and you're Yuma. And whether you were born and raised here or you've only been here 6 months, we have a way of embracing people and treating people like their extended family. You know, every year on New Year's, I cook carnitas in my front yard and I invite the whole neighborhood and I send messages out. And this year, I think I made about 65 pounds of carnitas and we went through it all. So there was a lot of people that came over. And again, it's that sense of community, that sense of togetherness, that's what's special about Yuma.
How can people find out about your campaign? If there's a website, you mentioned social media.
Yeah, social media. You can find me under Henry Valenzuela on Facebook, on Instagram. It's Aztec12Bravo. And my website is henryforyuma.com. Henryforyuma.com is where you can find everything about my campaign. You can sign my petition. You can contribute to my campaign. You can also register to vote. For those of you out there that are not registered to vote, it's important that you have a voice. Do not silence yourself by not registering to vote. That is the first step in the process, and you can't even you can't even express your voice. And every voice in Yuma is important. So please register to vote. If you don't know where to go, you can go to henryforyuma.com, and there's a button on there. That'll take you directly to register to vote.
And I don't mean to put you on the spot, but do you know what day Election Day is for our listeners?
Yes, August 4th is the primary election. Everybody can vote for the Yuma City Council so long as you live in the city of Yuma. I encourage everybody to vote on August 4th for Henry.
All right, Henry Valenzuela, candidate for Yuma City Council. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
KAWC's Arizona Edition is a production of KAWC, Colorado River Public Media. Questions or comments are welcome. Send them to azed@kawc.org. Our theme music was used with permission and composed by Stephen Hennig and performed by members of the Yuma Jazz Company. More information at yumajazz.com. Past shows and podcast information is available online. Just visit kawc.org for more information or search Arizona Edition wherever you get your podcasts. You can also take KAWC with you wherever you go. Just download the KAWC COFA app and the listening is in your hands. I'm Victor Calderon. This is KAWC's Arizona Edition. Thanks for listening.